understanding of the life and mission of the church. Jesus' disappearance from the daily lives of the disciples marked the end of his earthly existence and the beginning of a new sort of time. A time when Christ's relationship to the church is not restricted by the boundaries of time and space. Christ is now available to all people all of the time, my friend and colleague John McClure wrote, through the work of the Holy Spirit. At first glance, this doctrine could easily be used to underwrite the spiritual but not religious inclination of millennials. If the Spirit is everywhere available to everyone, who needs the church? But for Calvin, the ascension marked the culmination of Christ's work and the beginning of the church's work, of her active waiting on the Spirit and proclamation of the gospel in a world that is desperately, desperately in need of good news. So what does the ascension mean and matter for the life of our church, for our life together? I know this is not a question you woke up asking yourself this morning. More likely, you can imagine asking what the disciples must have asked when they woke up on Easter morning. How could they go on now that Jesus was gone? In the same dumb sense that we understand final endings, they understood the crucified, dead, and buried part of what had happened. But what of their coming to understand on the third day he rose again part? Luke's extended account of Easter Sunday invites us to imagine how it was that Jesus' appearance early in the morning, throughout that whole day and into the night, slowly led the disciples, in Luke's words, to believe not for joy. He walked with them. He talked with them. He broke bread with them. He ate with them. In other words, he was alive. Yet he also moved through locked doors and vanished as mysteriously as he had appeared. As the day wore on, what sense did they make of these experiences? Did they begin to think that things would return to the way they were before Jesus' death? Or maybe they thought they were living in that split-second reality we all have known, when in the face of a loss beyond our control, we wake forgetting. That is why it seems to me Jesus' teaching is more important than his walking or talking or eating with them on that day. He opened their minds to understand the scriptures, Luke says, first on the Emmaus Road and then in the upper room, tracing God's purposes through the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms that had to as he is taken up to heaven. Then once out of sight, Elisha picks up Elijah's mantle, as Joshua picked up the mantle of Moses, parts the waters of the Jordan, and returns to the people wearing the authority and responsibility given to prophets, to speak truth to power, to unmask idolatry, to require justice, until Elijah comes again. In the few hours Jesus had left to dwell with his disciples in space and time, I can only guess that this is the story Jesus told them through the lens of his own departure. Or if not, surely this was the story Luke had in mind as he set down for Theophilus all the things that Jesus did and taught until the day of his departure. Like Elisha, their teacher was about to be taken up to the heavens. Like Elisha, the disciples kept their eyes on Jesus until they could see him no more. Like Elisha, they would be given the Spirit. And like Elisha, they would wear the mantle of their teacher, the Spirit bestowing upon them the authority and responsibility to proclaim repentance for the forgiveness of sins until Jesus comes again. But unlike Elisha, their teacher had death behind him. Their lives and the life of the church would not be a continuation of his work, because his work had been completed. and